host, Laura Brown, as she introduces life-changing intuitive tools, live on-the-air intuitive tarot readings, guided energy work to help you align with your highest good, and inspiring conversations. Each show blends Laura's natural psychic gifts with her traditional training as a counselor and coach to provide you with a down-to-earth approach to living your most aligned, most inspired, and most elevated life. So grab your drink of choice, sit back, relax, and join us for another episode of Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Here is your host, Laura Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome so much to Intuitive Alchemy Radio, your home for inspiring conversations and the very tools, the intuitive tools that can and will transform your life. I am your host, Laura Brown, and I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I am hoping that everybody enjoyed their Labor Day and had an opportunity to break, to just hit pause, and hopefully have a little bit of time outside of the fray. I spent mine down with a little health issue, so it wasn't all fun and games, but I did give myself permission to just slip into non-doing, which I think is really important for me and for all of us to some degree, some of us more so than others. We don't always give ourselves permission to slip into that space of just relaxing, just hitting the brakes and hitting that pause button and allowing ourselves to really kind of settle into the awareness that we don't need to fill every single moment with something, that we can completely and 100% give ourselves the opportunity to just be and to be okay with that, to not judge it, to not characterize it. So welcome to September. I hope everybody is, you know, ready for this transitional month, this beautiful ushering in of autumn, which is one of my favorite seasons. I'm hoping everybody has grabbed their pumpkin spice latte. I have grabbed mine. I actually went in, and this was kind of mind-boggling to me. I went in for my one and only PSL, or pumpkin spice latte, as I call it. It has its own acronym now, its own abbreviation, because evidently pumpkin spice latte is just too much for us to say. But I went in for my one and only PSL for the year. I kind of treat myself when, you know, they come out. I think it's usually around September 1st. And I went up to the gentleman behind the counter, and I asked him if I could have a skinny pumpkin spice latte, which I'm sure is very, very against the rules for so many. But, you know, it's just, you know, health conscious. I want to enjoy it, but still make it as healthy as I can. And he mentioned something about how, you know, basically as we started talking, how there are a lot of people. And we just live in a small town outside of Denver. It's, you know, not super, super big. And he was saying that there's people who will come in once, sometimes twice per week, every week that these pumpkin spice lattes are available, to grab one. And it was so mind-boggling to me because, you know, a pumpkin spice latte, number one, you know, these are kind of the details. And I had to look this up because I'm sure many of you have seen it, but I couldn't recall the numbers. A tall PSL, a pumpkin spice latte with whole milk and whipped cream, clocks in at 330 calories. That's 15 grams of fat, 40 grams of carbs, and 39 of which are of those carbs are from sugar, and 11 grams of protein. And to just give you a tiny bit of perspective, there, all of that is more than what is in their cheese Danish. I guess they sell like this cheese Danish. And health.com was saying that their cheese Danish is lower in everything, calories, fat, sugar, than the pumpkin spice latte. So it is so delicious and I love it. But it's definitely one of those things that I have to take in moderation and understand. It's kind of more than a dessert than it is anything else. So I want to talk a little bit. We have a really great show ahead for you guys. I have author Carrie Hummingbird, who is on the show, and she is so much fun to talk about. And her book, The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Experience, has quickly risen to the top of one of my all-time favorite books. And we had a conversation just a few weeks ago before, you know, sort of arranging this interview, and I could have talked with her for hours. So I'm going to try to keep this introduction brief to really maximize just how much wisdom and amazing conversation I am sure is in store for us. But before we move into introducing Carrie, which we will do so after the first break, I wanted to share with you a little bit about the shows that we have coming up for you this month. It's really going to be a very, very fun month. Obviously, we have Carrie with us today. Next week on 9/11, we will be doing the September Intuitive Medicine, and which is all about alignment and setting intention. We're going to go into the energy of September and really dig into the idea of stepping into our deepest purpose, really understanding the momentum of where September is, you know, pushing us, in essence, not so gently in some ways. It feels very much, I've already been taking a peek. It feels very enriched and very strong, which of course requires a deeper level of respect. But we will also be going through the individual readings. So normally we would have that show on the very first show of the month, which would be today, but scheduling kind of made it so that it was best to push that back. So we'll be doing that, the intuitive medicine and the individual readings on 9/11. And then on 9/18, we're going to be looking at how we can balance it all with Bridget Esselmont of Biddy Tarot. I had the opportunity to record an interview with her that was super inspiring. I'm sure many of you who have any awareness of tarot or any curiosity whatsoever, no doubt have heard of BiddyTarot.com. And so I'm really excited to bring that interview your way on 9/18. And then our final show of the month on 9/25, we're going to be doing a little bit of a fun sort of combination of both a new moon in Libra transmission, really opening up the portals of energy for the messages that are trying to come through for each of us collectively, as well as individually through this new moon in Libra. And then I will be guiding you on a shamanic journey for helping to break down the walls around our hearts so that we can really lead from a place of love, lead from a place of compassion, and a place of just very much unconditional love. So we're going to be heading off into a very quick break, do a little bit of housekeeping, if you will. And when we get back, we will be talking with Carrie Hummingbird. So I hope that you stay with us. We got lots of magic in store for you.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Wake up and text. text and eat. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I want to thank you so much for staying with us here at Intuitive Alchemy Radio. I am your host, Laura Brown, and I am very excited to have with us today Carrie Hummingbird. Carrie is a soul guide who channels White Eagle and Ascended Master who specializes in rainbow light activation of human DNA. She is the international best-selling author of The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama, and host of the Soul Nectar Show, as well as founder of the Skills Not Pills movement. She shares the early years of her spiritual awakening in the award-winning and best-selling book, Awakening to Me, One Woman's Journey to Self-Love. In addition to this, Carrie shares channeled teachings of White Eagle in her Reinvent Yourself programs for individual and group mentoring. It is my honor to welcome Carrie to the show. Thank you so much for being with us today, Carrie.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura, for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here. I can't wait to see what we talk about.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was, you know, saying in the first half of the show about our initial conversation that, you know, sometimes those things can be one way or the other, right? You know, it can be a little bit of, you know, awkwardness as you start to just interact with somebody brand new. And I felt like we just kind of dug immediately in, and I probably could have gone on and taken up all of your day with just discussing so much of your book and your journey and everything. So it is no doubt going to be a fun conversation today in terms of just where we can take this and really going further. And I kind of want to follow that same paradigm as our initial conversation and kind of just jump right in by having you share with us a little bit about what the second wave is. You know, what is the second wave, and how does this concept and this truth, how does it impact each of us who are here today?
Absolutely. So my experience with the second wave was sort of like how we often get messages that get little drops in our bucket, and then it slips under the surface of awareness and we forget, and then another little drop comes in and gets reminding us, and then it slips under the surface. And that was sort of my experience with this the second wave. So the second wave, I got a message in February that I was writing a new book, and I said, oh, really? I didn't know that. What's the book? And my guide said, well, the book is called The Second Wave. And I said, what's that? That was sort of where I was with it. And then I was reminded in that moment, remember, you've seen this before. I said, okay. And then it said Dolores Cannon. And I said, oh, Dolores Cannon. And so, okay, I went back and I looked up The Second Wave and Dolores Cannon, and there she's a book she published called The Three Waves of Volunteers. Now, the cool thing about the work that she did is that she does, she invented a process of accessing the subconscious, or in her definition of it, the soul level consciousness of a human being, and asking it lots of questions during a deep hypnosis. So she invented this process, practiced it on thousands and thousands of people, and she started noticing some trends in the information that they would be sharing with her when they were in this state of consciousness. And they started talking about the waves of volunteers, the first wave of volunteers, the second wave of volunteers, and the third wave of volunteers. And she started charting this information and collecting it and adding it into the information she would request of the souls as she had them in that space of deep hypnosis. So she's published a book. She's now deceased, but she published a book before her death that was about the three waves of volunteers. So people who are interested in that topic can definitely find that on Amazon, Dolores Cannon. And I have not read that book, actually, because I keep my channel very clear. I only channel directly from my guides so that my information is, I feel more pure, direct from source, direct from my channel and the source that I'm receiving. So when I started channeling the book, the messages I was receiving was that I have been a member of the second wave and that I began the second wave. So I came in at the beginning of the second wave and that my eldest son came in at the end of the second wave. And so we're sandwiching the second wave between us in terms of this the span of time that volunteers have been coming to the planet for this purpose. And, you know, that this journey has been a lot like my journey. And because that way I would know how to help the people I'm meant to serve that are part of the second wave is that I've experienced very similar things. And the very similar things would be, you know, a lot of trauma, a lot of difficult family patterns and structures, a lot of difficult experiences, sort of like seeming like an unfair share of these kinds of experiences. And a feeling of not really belonging here and wanting to go home and that this might be a little too hard. And so those are some common experiences, and I'm sure we'll talk more. But that's basically what I started channeling was this description of what I've experienced, which, you know, the level to which I channeled that experience, it touches people's hearts. I mean, people have burst into tears reading that first chapter because they say, this is me. This is what I felt the whole time. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I absolutely can. I can second that. I think that there was, you know, so many moments where I, you know, and of course I'm reading it on my iPad, right? So I'm highlighting like everything, but maybe three or four words and then highlighting some more and then everything, you know, skipping three or four words and then highlighting some more because it is. I mean, I think that that's what is so, you know, so incredibly potent is that it is something which speaks directly to you, you know, and those who do read the book, and I do want to go into it a little bit here in a second, but those who do read the book, there's really never a question, is there, that they're part of that second wave? Because just their being there seems to be an indication of being precisely where they need to be, do you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's definitely people that have been getting this message outside of my channel, right? Because we're a collective. We're doing this together. Right. I'm a messenger, but I'm not the only messenger. And so definitely people are waking up through various channels to remember this. And this is just a really handy guide for anybody that is waking up and going, the second wave thing feels right to me. Well, probably. You go read the book. It's helpful. But I feel like that there's, you know, I've been doing psychic communication too because I realized we're all connected. Like everybody in the second mm-hmm. wave, we're connected to each other. So I could sort of pick up the psychic telephone and just broadcast a message to all of you out there to say, hey, it's time to wake up. Remember, this is part of phase two, you know, of our plan. Mm-hmm. And we already did phase one, so let's wrap it up, you know, because we got the better phase coming our way. We trudged through all the sloggy mud and we did all the difficult things, and now we're getting ready to open up into the beautiful part. So let's get on with it.
precisely. So in terms of the trauma, how do you feel, you know, what about all of those rather difficult experiences? It was all of that something that those who are volunteers of the second wave sort of like a prerequisite for kind of stepping into this role as volunteers and sort of ushering in this new age, if you will?
Well, let's explore that question in a different angle. So this planet is a planet of free will, and mm-hmm. therefore influences outside of people embodied on this planet don't have any influence. Like, you can just, your ego can do what it wants, right? Like, as soon as you're in the body, mm-hmm. you have this free will component, and you have this ego that you can pretty much do whatever you want, even if it hurts yourself and everybody around you. You can do that. And nobody can stop you, right? So this is a really tricky planet. And that's the reason for this plan of the three waves of volunteers, because the only way to change anything on this plane of existence on the earth is by fully embodying as a soul into a human body and healing it from the inside out. So therefore, knowing that that's the only way to change things on this plane of existence, because like having alien ships come down and tell you to stop doing what you're doing, that's not going to make it work. People just go, well, they'll create another war, you know? So that doesn't work. So the only thing that's going to work is by looking exactly like all the other souls and humans on the planet, looking just like they are, but having a totally different mission. And so it's sort of like a disguise, you know? So everybody from the second mm-hmm. wave and the first wave and the third wave have come in as volunteers to this planet. And the people that are volunteers to the planet, the reason they were selected is because of their mastery in other realms and because of their ability to keep their heart pure, to stay aligned with truth no matter what, to know the truth deep within them and never lose that, no matter what they see in front of them, no matter what terrible things happen, no matter all the feelings in their body and all the crazy experiences you can have in a human body, no matter all of that, they never lose themselves. They always have access to their divine spark, their true knowing, their heart, and to know the truth versus whatever they're seeing in front of them. And that is the characteristic of the second wave. I like to say it's sort of like a lightning bolt inside of me goes off when I get close to something that's out of alignment. It's like, I know I shouldn't be doing that. I know that that's not right. And I've had that lightning bolt most of my life. For a short period of my life, that lightning bolt dimmed a little bit, but then it came back strong. And I think if you check yourself, you probably have something similar to that. So we came in to be a clear channel of truth and love, and we got plunked down by choice into family lines where there have been a lot of repeated generations of family trauma to disrupt the process. So that's why we're here, is to disrupt those patterns of human suffering.
Oh, now that is that is the powerful pull too that you speak on when it comes to those ancestral patterns. And in relation to, I think you called it Earth amnesia, because there is a certain element, even though we are this sort of multidimensional being having a human moment or this spiritual being having a human moment, I've always felt, at least in part, that a massive chunk of this experience is shedding the sort of layers of that Earth amnesia and of all of the humanness that can sometimes cloud our divinity, if you will. So is that something that as volunteers of the second wave, is it those who are always knowing and being in touch with and awareness of their divinity, or is it also those who are sort of coming out of that Earth amnesia and shedding those layers to re-remember who they really are?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And my sense is that it's both. There's a spectrum. So there are some members mm-hmm. of the first wave and second wave that woke up. They just like were born woke. They just knew they had a very big experience early in life that reminded them of the truth. There's that experience. There's also the experience like mine where I didn't wake up until I was 40. It took me to 40 to get to the place where I took the turn that helped me to really wake up. And even then, I clawed my way through the awakening process for about 8 years. So there is, you know, Earth amnesia can be very thick and deceiving if that's part of your journey. I feel like the benefit of having the Earth amnesia is that you understand intimately what it takes to wake up from the inside out. And so if you're designed to guide other people through that process, then you have to go through the process yourself. Otherwise, you can't relate to them. You don't know what they're going through. So you have to experience it yourself in order to guide them. And I think if you're meant to be a guide, which in this case I am, I had to go through every nasty little gritty part of like getting through that earth amnesia to remember myself. Absolutely.
Powerful, powerful. And I love the idea, though, that, you know, that there is a spectrum, you know, so those who maybe are on the cusp of this awareness, or maybe who have been fighting and kind of clawing, you know, simultaneously both pushing and pulling and clawing their way through this awakening, that it's all part of the process. And especially those, because when we look at the idea of that ancestral connection, and we look at the awareness of I think it's kind of referred to in the book as sort of hijacking our experience. I'm curious, just to switch gears for a moment, especially for those, because it just feels for me very resonant in terms of those who are listening. How can we tell if that ancestral pull, if those ancestral patterns or lines have in fact hijacked us? Because I think that's something, you know, we're caught between this sort of cusp of acknowledging and gaining more awareness about our inherited family DNA and our inherited, you know, trauma and all of that is coming down through our ancestral lines. But we also are still very much, you know, not quite rooted in that to the degree that we are, you know, don't blame your parents, don't blame this, take ownership of your experience. So I think there's a lot of conflict within many of our listeners and many of the readers even of your book between knowing when they're maybe, you know, projecting something or when it is in fact that ancestral line that has kind of hijacked the experience.
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I feel first I want to say that self-deprecation and martyrdom definitely play a part in being a second waiver. You know, it's a tricky little scenario that you could find yourself in, so be mindful of that, because we're not here to be doormats either. You know, we're not here to, like, leave the welcome mat out, like, keep stepping all over me. That's not really what it's about. I mean, when we heal ourselves, we heal seven generations forward and seven back. And healing ourselves is really understanding the patterns that are happening in our family dynamic, understanding them as they relate to our own lives and how we're emulating that within our own lives or not. And then healing within ourselves means, you know, really using these tools of healing, which are transformational, which are powerful. You know, there's so many of them out there. Like, it could be energy medicine, it could be the emotion code, it could be constellation healing. I could go on and on, right? I mean, how many different ways can we heal? We have all these tools, and it's really to say that this is put to rest. You know, that not like shoving it away and saying it doesn't exist, not denying it, not you know, expounding on it for 20 years like I did on a psychotherapist couch and blaming everybody else and blaming the world. It's getting to a place of peace, right, and understanding, okay, this was the pattern. I see it now. I see it now, and it's like a virus that I take out of my system with neutrality and also with a big boundary that says not on my watch. Like, this is not happening on my watch. I take this virus out of my computer, and now I move my computer in a different direction by choice. So it's like there's a good boundary there, not allowing yourself to be victimized or controlled by others or blamed or shamed, and also not fighting them, you know, in your family if that's what they're doing to you, like giving yourself space and grace to find your center, to heal yourself, and let them work on them, because we are all divine sovereign beings of choice on this planet, every single one of us. It's just that some of us on the planet have gotten a little hooked into karmic patterns for centuries, you know, and others of us are coming in, you know, from other parts of the galaxy where we haven't really been plugged into this matrix except for this lifetime or maybe one before, right? So we're fresh, we're fairly fresh, and so we have a little different perspective.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Especially, I love how you mentioned the idea of giving yourself a bit of space. I have found in my own experience, having had two parents who were, you know, on their own journey, but whose journey negatively impacted or influenced my own for a good number of years, that I had to really work at coming into a space where I felt that it was okay to take that. I think that that's something that many people wrestle with, that idea that, you know, we kind of think that if we share blood, if we share this DNA, that we are beholden, that we are, you know, obligated in some way, shape, or form. And it seems to me like you might suggest that, you know, whether for a moment or maybe even longer, that that's not really the case, that we can give ourselves permission to have that freedom.
Absolutely. And I talk about this, I give this analogy in the book, which I think is helpful, is you could imagine that you were watching a movie of your family with yourself up on the screen and every family member up there going through the human drama that is your family's human drama. And watching the drama in the audience, and then all of a sudden watching your character just have this total 180 and go, wait a second, I'm not even from this planet. You know, like, what are you talking about? I'm not even from here. And then just totally stepping out of the role and your family going, who are you? You know, like, what is going on with this? You can't do that. You can't not play our game. And it's sort of like, yes, I can. I cannot play this game. I can choose not to play. And it's not that there isn't love, it's that you're no longer willing to meet them at their game. So you can hold compassion and space mm-hmm. for them as they explore their own journey, and you can demonstrate love. And, you know, to the level of your comfort and your ability, you can engage. But if it's damaging to you and hurtful to your progress of ascension, I mean, the number one goal is ascension on the planet right now. So ascending our energy bodies, healing within us. And so this is really different than turning your back on your family, walking away and going to the beach and like drinking a dozen margaritas. Like that's not going to happen with anybody from the second wave. Okay. Like what's going to happen with a second wave member is going, wow, there's a lot of drama with my family. I'm going to walk away right now. And then I'm going to go immerse myself in personal work to track it down within my being and figure out why this is happening and what's going on and where does this come from? I'm going to heal it. And then I'm going to ripple that change forward and back 7 generations. And then when I feel strong inside and I feel like I have enough love in me to share, I'm going to try again. That's a second waver. Mm-hmm.
I love that awareness that there's, you know, there's a coming back to it, an opportunity to try again. But you brought up a really good point that kind of maybe answers my next question, or maybe you can expound on it before we go to our next break, is I am curious what perhaps, at least in terms of your channel and your guide and your awareness, is the purpose of the human experience right now? You know, is it simply to ascend? And I say simply, knowing it's anything but. But is it simply ascension? Or is it that ushering in of taking us to a new level in terms of just even our understanding of who we are?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like this new age of Aquarius that we're entering is an opportunity to completely rewrite the script on what human beings are capable of on this planet. It's an opportunity to see what these human beings are capable of, like with an actual soul in charge. What's possible when a human being walks around with their soul in the lead? And what happens when an entire planet of human beings walk around with their soul in the lead? That is what we're here to find out. And that is a magical thing to consider, because there's really only been a very small percentage of the population at any one time on this planet where that has been the case, where there's been a soul walking around leading the human being that they're in. That hasn't happened. You know, there's been like Jesus and a few others. What happens when the whole planet is operated in this way? And that's really what we're here to find out. Like, how much better can this thing get? What is this human suit capable of? What's possible?
Absolutely. And I think it is, you know, that's kind of what the power of it all is the understanding that we have no idea. You know, I mean, we for by and large, collectively, with a few exceptions, have been mostly rooted in our humanness. And I think that that's, you know, I think in many cases, and maybe, you know, it is or it isn't, I guess we don't really truly know, that a lot of the discord we're seeing on this sort of collective and global level is part of that dichotomy. You know, it's part of that stretching as we, you know, feel the wool that sort of obfuscated or otherwise hid our soul from being seen as something within as opposed to something we're constantly appealing to outside of us being lifted, and that sort of glaring awareness. And, you know, I hate to do it. I want to hear your thoughts on that, but we are going to be moving into a short break. When we come back, we're going to be continuing with Carrie. We're going to expound a bit on that question as well as learn a little bit more about closing the book of fate and opening the book of destiny. So stay with us.
Best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head-on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Intuitive Alchemy Radio. I'm your host, Laura Brown, and we are talking with Carrie Hummingbird, soul guide and author of The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Experience. And before we went off into break, I had begun to sort of frame maybe a question, maybe just something I wanted to hear your thoughts on. Kind of curious as to whether, you know, this awareness that we're stepping into a new phase whereby we are leading from the soul, that we are in connection to an awareness of our divinity, our, you know, I call it our multidimensional self, but insert whatever, you know, word fits or resonates with each of you listening, and of course you, Carrie, there. If that awareness and having that wool pulled from our eyes, and that ascension, in essence, happening, whether, you know, we notice or not, or on board or not, does that account for kind of some of the conflicts that we're seeing, some of the nature that I feel energetically, as well as just what we see with our own eyes, has been so prescient and prevalent in the world today? Are they related? You know, is that why we're seeing the discord, because we're being stretched and there's resistance?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I, you know, here's where I was getting over the break, is that For the past thousands of years, we've been having a collective agreement about the experiment that we were running. We were seeing, like, how, you know, what happens when we let the human mind be the lead? Like, what happens when that happens? Mm-hmm. And what happens is separation. What happens is the ego gets a lot of control. And so we've run that experiment. Like, what happens when the earth is driven by a lot of egos running around and having their own thing and believing that they have to fight for it and thinking that everything is about them and not being collaborative? You know, what happens when you have that? So we've had that experiment. And this is a big prophecy, the return, you know, of the Rainbow Warriors. This is the prophecy that indigenous people have had in many of their cultures, has been that there would be a time when, you know, in particular Caucasian, but this Western mindset would basically just demolish the earth, you know, just ruin everything, ruin Mother Nature, kill the animals, kill the plants, and just almost make the earth unlivable. And we can see that playing out right now, but based on greed and scarcity and selfishness and wanting to have everything and yourself and this, you know, the egoic mind, like that is causing division between people. So this prophecy says that finally, you know, that the Western mindset would start to realize this isn't working out so well and see the writing on the wall. And then what's the transition? The transition is to surrender to the soul, surrender to the spirit. And because the soul and the spirit is the only one that has a solution right now for how this is going to all reverse. If we just have a bunch of egos running around trying to figure out how we're going to heal the planet, we're not going to do that. Okay. Like, we're going to get wiped off the face of the planet because Mother Earth will take care of herself. So we got to let our souls lead the way now, because the soul is connected to all that is. And the soul is a collective consciousness, and the soul, you know, part of the collective consciousness knows the next action to take. When your heartbeat's connected with the earth, you're in rhythm and you're in harmony with the earth. You let the earth speak to you. The earth will tell you what she needs. But if you're not in your heart because you're in your mind, then we have this push-pull. So every single human being is a microcosm of the macrocosm experience that's happening right now, which is this little tug-of-war or big tug-of-war between the ego and the soul. Like, who's going to lead? Now, the only way to survive on this planet as a human race is to let the soul lead. That's it. Period. End of story. There is no other way. If the egos don't come along, then the ones that aren't coming will be wiped off the planet, and the ones that came along will stay. That's just sort of like how it is now. So we are getting a lot of resistance. And even within light workers, they feel the resistance. Like, they're like, I know I need to study with you, but I have all this resistance. Do you know what that's about? And I just almost want to laugh out loud. Like, what's the resistance? Your ego is going, uh-oh, I'm going to lose control. I got to go sit in the back seat. Yeah, you got to sit in the back seat. You don't have the answers. Okay? Only the soul has the answers.
I love it. It's kind of like the ego throwing a little bit of a tantrum.
I don't want to relinquish
control.
And the ego can do amazing things. I was going to say that.
I don't think it's about cutting off.
No.
I don't think it's about cutting off our ego.
No, I mean, the ego can be, it has so much power. You've got to bring it along. Like, the ego can completely diminish your prosperity, for example. It can thwart every effort you want to make money. Like, it can do that. I mean, you can have basically be backed up against the wall until you surrender. So, you know, the ego is a very complicated little piece of machinery inside of you, you know, and you need to learn how to love it and put it in right relationship and give it a nice spot. So it is an ally, but it's just been, you know, it's been out of alignment.
Oh, absolutely. But you bring up a good question, and I can hear it collectively, the resounding, you know, how does one surrender to their soul? How do we really, because it's a very nebulous concept. And I know for me, I have my idea about that. Obviously, you have yours. You know, there's people who are, you know, able to kind of grasp that concept. But for those who can't, what do you suggest? How does surrendering to the soul feel like? How does it look like? How is it done?
Well, you got to get out of your thinking mind. So you can do a lot, and basically anything that takes you out of your thinking mind. So, for example, the indigenous people have a long-standing tradition of a soul quest, right? Like go into the forest for 5 days, no food and water, and you're going to get through the ego mind, right? You're going to see every single last thing it thinks. You got to put yourself in a situation where you loosen up the thinking mind so that you can hear the deeper voice, which is your soul. But the deeper voice, it doesn't speak loud. It speaks in turn. For me, I hear it in my body. I hear it in my heart. And I'm aware. I've done enough plant medicine now. Plant medicine is another great avenue, but, you know, with really good intention. But I feel like I've done enough of that now that I tell the difference when I'm in soul and when I'm in ego. There's actually a palpable body difference for me, the experience. And the egoic self feels like more contracted and worried, like concerned, like it looks externally like, oh, what's somebody think about this? And it's concerned about like image, you know, like for example, image. Let's talk about that. Like the egoic self would be very concerned about image. Like what are people thinking about what I'm saying? I wonder how they're interpreting it. And then we'd be like going out worrying about that and like going and looking at that. And the soul self isn't worried at all. Like the soul self isn't even worried. It's not worried about anything. The soul self just knows. And so even though there's like potentially an imminent action my soul would like me to take, and it might be an urgent action. It could be like, you know, this action today, please. You know, okay, I'll do that thing. It's more like, it's not an urgent thing. It's just a, this is today's task kind of thing. Like, this is right timing. It's about right timing. It's not necessarily about worrying about that being skipped because there's another alignment. There'll be another alignment. It's more about tuning into the overall group consciousness and the planet and the timing of things. That just keeps coming to me is that eternal knowingness, like everything is actually fine. We're doing this together and it's a big experiment. So have a little fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, I see, you know, when we're rooted in ego and that is in the driver's seat or out of, you know, alignment or not in right relationship, for example, to me, that's when we're more about muscling our way through. You know, we're more concerned about pushing and driving and, you know, hustling and, you know, everything feels so active and so very, like we're forcing control sometimes. Whereas when we're in the soul, when we're in our multidimensional self, we're aware of the fact that all of this is unfolding whether we have our hands in the cookie jar or not, you know, so it doesn't matter if we're doing something or not. In fact, sometimes our doing actually thwarts the process.
That's a really good point. I mean, where do songs come from? This is like a really good example. I mean, songs and melodies, they float around on the air and when they're ready to be released, and into human consciousness, and maybe five people hear that melody in their head, but only one of them writes it down and creates a little song. So it's just, you know, there's this wisdom that is available to all of us to tap into. And when you say yes to it, then you become the vessel through which it flows. So there isn't any, I just don't feel, I said yes, you know, I think there's also a bit of destiny. I think there's, let's talk about destiny. Like, what does that word mean? I feel like destiny is soul guided living. Like destiny is the magic that your soul can create for you. That's destiny. And I think fate is more your egoic story about who you are. Like, here's another good example. Like Martin Luther King said, you know, you can't see the whole staircase. You just have to take the first step. So the first step, if you just saw the first step and that was it, that's the soul. That's the soul's plan. If you can see the whole stairwell, that's totally your ego's plan.
I love it. I love that. And that's, so is the closing of the book of fate is that moving out of ego then and into that soul feet, that soul-led place?
Yeah, and it's moving into a space of delight at what your soul is bringing to you today. Like, what song is going to play in the air that you're going to say yes to that's going to then channel down through your vessel and out into the world? And that could be a song, it could be a blueprint, it could be a new design, whatever it is, right? But it's really more listening and receiving and then acting in an inspired way rather than figuring out.
Yes, no more muscling, just opening and receiving,
yeah.
which is such a beautiful concept, because I don't think that we, you know, we always necessarily feel that the more passive receptivity and surrender and allowing is, we don't always acknowledge it as the medicine that it really is. And speaking of allowing and being a portal, I know that you have the pulse transmissions, and I want to give you an opportunity before we go into the final minutes of the show, or as we go into the final minutes of the show, to share a bit more about that offering, because I know that you shared with me one of the transmissions and I found it incredibly, incredibly powerful. And I really do feel like it's something above and beyond. You know, the book is amazing, and I want everybody to run out and grab it. You will be glued to it like I am. But I also want you to have an opportunity to share a bit more on the pulse transmissions and what that offering entails.
Yes, absolutely. So I was told by White Eagle, my guide, that I'm going to do these weekly pulse transmissions. I had no idea what this was going to be, because I really don't know. I just know I'm making space for it to happen. So now that I've been doing them for a little while, they're a pulse. So they're actually tied into the second wave community. So it's whatever the second wave community on the group consciousness level is feeling or needing to hear or needing to receive, then I get that download, and then I create this transmission for the weekly pulse. So the first one was joy, at which I was surprised we were going all the way to joy right from the beginning, but we went all the way to joy. And then the next one was about being home, like really being home in your body and having galactic support to make your body a place that feels like home. And then there's been many more. So they're all around different themes that second wavers are facing in their life. And so what I'm doing is receiving the group consciousness and the message of, wow, we really need to hear this message right now, because, you know, we're feeling this other way, and we really need to be redirected into a better way, a more opulent direction. And so I will get that download, and I'll just channel that. So far, they've been pretty cool. So, I mean, I never know what's going to happen even when I start hit record. So I like, okay, what's going to happen now? But it's been very enlightening. It's been very helpful. So.
Just to speak about it being in a state of surrender and allowing.
Totally. I have no idea what's going to happen.
So how can somebody sign up to receive and be a part of those transmissions?
So the easiest way to sign up for that would be to go to the Second Wave website, which is www.thesecondwave, all spelled out, .media, M-E-D-I-A. And then you'll get an opportunity. You'll get actually the first chapter of the book for free, as well as a meditation to help you determine if you're a member of the second wave. And you'll also get the opportunity to purchase some guided meditations, as well as the pulse, if that's something that you'd like to be involved with. And you'll get added to the email list, and you'll get notifications about events that are being held across the United States for now. That you could attend to be in person and give me a hug and get a transmission and some starseed activation and hear more about this this experience that we're all sharing together.
Beautiful, beautiful. So where are you headed to next? What is going on in your world next? You know, obviously you're in the midst of spreading the word on the second wave. I'm hoping that the White Eagle has not yet, you know, kind of added to your plate in terms of another book that you're going to channel in just a short while.
Actually,
you really, Oh my goodness, no way.
Yes. Yes. Except White Buffalo Catwoman. Yeah, I'm now channeling a book from White Buffalo Catwoman. And this book is about, it's called Fierce Love, Healing the Mother Wound. And I'm going to be doing a
woman.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's already coming in. And I'm doing an 8-week program with a bunch of different people, a bunch of women, clients and students. And this is a free program offered to my clients and students. And it's going to be 8 weeks, October to November. And we're going to be working with White Buffalo Woman to heal the mother wound. So basically, I'm channeling that as well. And it's a group participation project, and there'll be healing meditations and a book that comes from it. So it will help a lot of people through this book to really transition the tide towards female empowerment and really loving ourselves fully and deeply. So I'm excited about this work. As again, I'm just channeling it. So I'm involved in the process and in terms of my own personal experience and holding the container. And you know, but it's pretty fascinating so far.
Oh my goodness! I'm so excited. I think that is such a prescient theme. The idea. I was really hoping that you might have a moment to rest. You really. I mean, you got the second wave out rather quickly, just because of how much was coming down those channels. So obviously they know you can handle it. So I guess it's just going to be about kind of getting on for the ride. So thank you so much, Carrie, for being a part of this experience. Thank you for being on the show. I hope everybody has a great rest of their week. We'll see you next time.